Welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now, a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of kptz.org.
Hello, this is Mary Robson for Nature Now. The last week in July seems to be sunny. Salal and the thimbleberries are ripe. The farmers' markets are abundantly full. Cheryl Lowe joins me today for news of changes at the Shore Edge in Fort Townsend Park. But of course, first, the mystery sound. You'll need to have a boat to hear this, and to be very fortunate because it is a rare sound and seldom heard. Observations. Charlie Fleischman, as usual, will join me in sharing these. We are going to talk about observations of populations of animals around here that are getting bigger and growing. We did receive a photo of a pregnant Douglas squirrel, but that is not the kind of growing population we will be talking about. The theme today is return, because each report we found describes increased numbers of threatened animals. On July 25th, Monday this week, the Peninsula Daily News wrote that scientists are unsure whether these changes are entirely positive. Sea mammals could be moving as a result of threats to their former habitat.
Sea otters in a raft. That's not on a raft, but gathered in a group numbering nearly 700 animals. Observed recently near Ho Head off the Ho River, one description says they look just like a dark brown carpet when they're going up and down on the swells, from Steve Jeffries, Department of Fish and Wildlife. Sea otters forage for clams, mussels, urchins, and crabs, then raft up together after eating. A theory offered was that they do this to socialize. Humans lack words for what animals do. Nearly eliminated by hunting, they were gone in local waters by 1910. The current sea otter population began with individuals brought down from the Aleutian Islands in 1970. Recovery is still fragile, but the current numbers seen in that raft are almost as many otters as the whole count in Washington in 2004. This was reported by the Peninsula Daily News.
Finally, sea mammal watching. If you have been whale watching lately, you have met unusual numbers. Humpback whales, counted by members of the Pacific Whale Watch Association, appeared between Port Angeles and Victoria in a group of 15 to 20 together. We've never seen so many humpback whales in the Central Straits. It's humpback heaven out there right now, said Michael Harris, the Pacific Whale Watch Association Executive Director. And that's a whole group of people who have individual whale-watching boats. About 20 or so years ago, we never saw humpback whales. The last 3 or 4 years, our crews started to see them all the time. Now, we're seeing them congregate in these large groups, not unlike what you might see in Hawaii or Alaska, Harris added. Now for our interview. Today, we are fortunate to be talking with Cheryl Lowe. Cheryl works for WSU Extension in the water program. She designs courses, and she teaches the beach naturalist volunteers. She's also involved as staff coordinator for the Jefferson County Marine Resources Committee and works on shoreline restoration, which is why she's here today. Cheryl, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
How did you become intrigued about the edges of oceans and shoreline in general?
Well, I actually grew up in Ohio, but then moved first to the East Coast and then the West Coast. And I was working for the Whidbey Kamino Land Trust on a couple of shoreline restoration projects.
Okay.
And that led me to the Island County version of the Beach Watchers, Beach Naturalists.
Right.
And then a program opening came up in Jefferson, and I jumped on it.
Okay. Let's start with the basic subject we wanted to look at today is changes at Fort Townsend. For many of us, Fort Townsend is a great place to walk because it's close to town. You know, you don't have to drive for an hour to get to a good walk. And I understand that the shoreline is being unarmored and worked on as a summer project this summer. What's going to happen? Or is it's starting this week? Yes?
It's actually starting today. Monday, the 25th. And they're now staging all the equipment. There's a trail at Fort Townsend State Park that goes down to a grassy landing near the beach. And the landing was built over 100 years ago to help build the fort, basically. We're taking out most of the big boulders and the fill that's part of that landing, leaving just enough for people to still be able to get down to the beach and enjoy the habitat.
Okay, so at this point, then, you have a contemporary project which is essentially undoing a historical reality, right?
Yeah.
Did they bring boats into that area? When originally, do you know?
Originally, the fort was built in the 1850s, 1860s.
I didn't know there was anybody here at that point.
And the fort was actually not part of sort of a coastal defense. It was just protecting the early pioneers from Indian raids.
Oh, dear.
So it was a very early fort. And the only way they could get building materials up to this strategic location was taking advantage of sort of a break in the bluff. Uh-huh. And so they built a landing and then hauled all the materials up the hill to build the fort.
So that we will still have the walk up the hill, but the bottom where that stack of rocks meets the shore will change.
Significantly, yeah.
Significantly, yeah. You said there is a large barge in there now at this point with the moving equipment to get the rocks up and out?
Or? Yeah. We're taking out about 3/4 of the landing and most of the boulders.
Wow.
And sort of rebuilding it as a smaller, less intrusive landscape feature.
Okay.
And because that road down to the beach is right on the bluff, there's no way it can support the weight of hauling all that equipment out. So we had to float in a barge, and they're working from the water rather than from the land.
So that is an interesting thing to at least walk partway down and look at. They probably don't want us standing on their rocks while they're trying to remove them. But
yeah, you actually can't get down there at all.
Oh, okay. Did they close the road at the top then?
Yeah.
Well, all we can say about that is that there are about 7 miles of other trails at Fort Townsend going off into the beautiful woods. And folks, you are not excluded from Fort Townsend, only from where the work is being done. One of the things about this, it's also going to expand the shoreline in some way, so it'll be longer than it was.
Well, the intent is to haul out about 1,700 cubic yards of fill, which it's hard
that
for me to
like
put my head around that. But if you think of it in terms of dump trucks, it's about 120 dump trucks of fill that we are taking back off the beach. So the intent is really to expand the amount of natural beach and natural processes that happen on a beach, which are so important to fish and wildlife and marine mammals.
So most all of those rocks disappear, but they've got to go somewhere. So that's the other thing the barges are for, right? They're going to take all of that 1,700 cubic yards. That's a lot of fill.
Well, and it's interesting to think about how much fill that is then that's burying the beach that we're trying to undo, as you said.
What individual living creatures are going to be affected by the change? I mean, what is going to happen with flora and fauna health, you're hoping?
What we're hoping and what we've seen actually on the natural beach that's both to the north and south is it's really good habitat for forage fish, which are small fish, some of which spawn on the beach. So
for goodness sake.
Surf smelt and sand lance are two species that are already using that beach a little bit, much more so in other places. And what we're hoping is by improving habitat, we're going to make it more attractive for larger numbers of those fish to come back. And they're sort of a keystone in the food web, being food both for salmon, for bigger fish, for marine birds, for the pigeon guillemots that you see, for the herons.
And then some of the sea mammals, too.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So they're important to sort of providing food for a lot of things. So the more habitat we can provide, hopefully that will support increased numbers of forage fish.
Okay. When you're working with beach naturalists, does your group get involved in things like tracking how many forage fish there are, or looking at the beach to see about who's laid eggs, or how does that, who checks, I guess that's what I'm wanting to say, is who checks what's going on once changes start happening?
Well, for this particular project, which is co-sponsored with Jefferson County Marine Resources Committee and the Northwest Straits Foundation and State Parks. So those are the three partners that have been working on this project.
Okay.
And then we recruit community volunteers to help us with the citizen science monitoring component. Mm-hmm. So we've spent about a year and a half with these volunteers that are both Marine Resource Committee volunteers and beach naturalists, mm-hmm. collecting data and working with some of the state agencies that are also interested in how effective restoration can be. So the idea is that we go for the forage fish where we were out every 2 weeks throughout mm-hmm. the winter, trying to figure out, well, when do they come and when do they leave? And summer's a time when they're gone. For our beaches, they really start back in September when the temperatures are cooler and the beaches are
And moisture. Is that the time when the eggs that have been laid would be hatching and finding their way back out to sea? Or
it actually goes all winter long.
Okay.
So the first ones start in September and the eggs are in the sand for maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then at the next high tide cycle, the eggs hatch and the young larvae head out to mm-hmm. the water.
Which is a vulnerable place to be headed if you're a larval stage of a fish.
Yep. Yeah, that's a whole nother program.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to it. What about how birds are involved also? Does this possibly increase the existence of birds that, I was thinking of kingfishers that make nests in the bluffs. There's a place on one of the bluffs where there's a whole row of what looks like holes that something has dug that might be kingfishers. I'm not sure, but that's what it looks like. Would this also affect how birds use the beach or?
Well, I think our intent is to, I mean, there's already a lot of wonderful habitat there. Like you said, you've seen holes, which could either be kingfisher or pigeon guillemots. Uh-huh. It's hard to know they both nest in those bluffs. And I think our goal is just to sort of make a little more habitat available, a little more food available.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that we would really notice mm-hmm. changes. Do you really notice 10% more clams or 10% more birds when you're only there twice a year?
I had just wondered because I've have a sense that this removal potentially puts that shoreline at Fort Townsend into a much healthier condition.
Certainly it does.
It will.
Yeah,
and at the same time, the next part of the reconnoitering, looking at, measuring, is going to be looking at how do the changes come to be? What happens?
Well, and that's a good question. It's always hard to measure wildlife because you can't predict. You know, we can't predict that the fish will actually come. So what we're really measuring is how has the beach slope changed? How has the sediment changed on the beach? Because mm-hmm. Forage fish like a certain size sediment grain.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's too big and cobbly, they're not inclined to lay their eggs because the eggs mm-hmm. can't attach to any sand. And we're also looking at things like beach wrack and large woody debris or drift logs.
So beach wrack is all of the detritus left at the end of a high tide. Is that right?
Right, right. Okay. So it's whatever washes up. And it can be, sometimes we've monitored and there's nothing because there's nothing really drifting in the water that day. And other times we've been out there and I was out today and there's a huge pile of algae. Seaweed that happened to wash up because of, you know, whatever.
Winds, tides, the whole
currents,
the whole thing. And
together.
Then that particular pile of algae changes the health of that part of the beach anyway. It becomes a different environment than if it weren't there. In other words, it adds to the value to microscopic and bigger creatures. Because you've got
Absolutely.
Something that develops nutritionally right on the beach there.
Right, and anytime you pick up a little bit of seaweed or mm-hmm. Eelgrass or something that's washed up, you often see beach hoppers or amphipods is another name for them. But basically, it's rich with nutrients and insects that are food for both birds and fish.
So tell me a little more about beach hoppers, because that is a completely new term to me.
Uh-oh. I don't know that much other than
that
it's a very
right.
small sort of amphipod is a sort of bigger grouping, which is part of, it's basically an invertebrate.
Okay.
An insect of sorts. Mm-hmm. And they can leap That's how they escape predators. But their major role is actually consuming that algae so that it doesn't pile up. You know, when we see it and then we don't see it, it's because there are lots of these amphipods and other small invertebrates eating it.
Which wouldn't occur to any of us at all. I mean, we think we need to scoop it up with a shovel and take it home to our gardens, which we can't do because that's not legal, and we don't do it. But I'm just curious.
Well, I don't know about the legal, illegal, but it's best to leave it.
It's a park, and you sort of
leave it the way it is.
So I wondered about, when you are talking about taking it out, is there an element that makes the beach access easier for people? This is the edge of a park. And I have seen people sit down at the top of that abutment and say, no, thank you. I want to get down there, but I don't think I want to brave the rocks. Those will be gone.
Most of the rocks will be gone. They'll still be rocks because that landing is still artificial. So we'll need to protect it in some way. But we're going to mix it, the rocks, with logs and other natural material so it won't be so
abrupt.
Right. Yeah. But we're also creating, we call it a ramp, but it's basically sort of a route down that'll be gravel and sand tucked into the edge of the shore that will make it easier for people to get down.
So this is a heads up for those of you who finally wind up enjoying it. There's been a year and a half of planning gone into this, all of these changes, and that's part of it then, is to say, how can the human population enjoy it as well as the various amphipods and arthropods and lots of insects? Do you think that you will be able to see gradual changes at the shore after this happens?
Well, there's a couple of other things that we're predicting besides. So we're hoping that we'll see more large woody debris or beach logs because the waves won't be bouncing so hard off of those big boulders.
Okay.
So more of the logs will stay. We expect to see some change in the way the sand distributes itself along the shore, which we call drift cells or shoreline drift. Mm-hmm. But there's already a lot of sand there because that tends, because there are bluffs on either side that are already eroding. So we'll see some changes, but it's a little hard to predict what those changes will look like.
Okay.
And most of the rest will just be more lovely beach and a little less bulkhead.
Will it be possible to walk farther on the beach than we now can? Was adding some length or width or?
Well, we're making the landing shorter and tucked in closer to shore so that these other natural processes will happen.
Okay.
And so in terms of the beach, right now you can walk a long way either north or south.
Yes.
So, and we're just sort of, you know, we're just changing the departure point.
Right. And on one side, you walk essentially a little bit toward the paper mill, and that if you're going north, if you're going south, you're walking toward the bridge over to Indian Island.
Well, you're walking to Cala Point.
Okay. Yeah. You're walking to Cala Point, where you have to stop.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It's really fascinating because I was wondering also, as we think about it, has this particular project, especially this size, been undertaken very much in this area?
This is actually a pretty small project
compared to
projects like what the North Olympic Salmon Coalition has been doing down in Discovery Bay.
Okay.
So they have restored large sections of the near shore as part of their projects that also benefit salmon and forage fish. So the project size sort of depends on the particular group. The Marine Resources Committee tends to take on smaller projects.
Okay. Just to conclude, imagine taking a walk on the shore. What are people likely to notice? What would you be looking for on a winter walk?
Whether it's a winter or summer walk, I think that we had some beach walks when we were sort of introducing the project, and it was amazing to me how much people already found on the beach. So I think people will find the same things. They'll find little fish in the shallow pools. They'll find the little tide pool that's right at the base of the abutment is still going to be there. The falling logs are still going to be there. So I think everything will be the same. And even the number of people, I think, will stay quiet just because there's still that long hill to go down and go back up. There'll just be a little more of it.
Okay. That's something to look forward to. I happen to personally like winter and fall walks along the shore. So thank you so much for introducing us to the changes happening at Fort Townsend. So for those of you who are saying, oh my gosh, I can't walk down to the shore, you will be able to, and it'll be a great big improvement.
Yeah, it'll only be about 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is another good value about it. It'll be finished when summer is still here, and then it'll be there for your fall and winter shoreline walks. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Oh, my pleasure.
This has been fun. Mystery Sound. This is a fin whale, and I'm quoting from The Stranger in Seattle. We all need some awe, and watching nature gives us a lot of awe, but the awe was in particular for the second fin whale sighting here. It was near Dungeness Spit. We reported last September on the first one seen. I remember that. This year's whale, not said to be the same individual, has also been tracked in British Columbia in Hecate Strait and Kameno Sound. Many sets of eyes and binoculars were watching it. This fin whale is only the second seen in this area since 1930. Awe, for sure. Fin whales can dive to 1,800 feet down. They're the speediest of whales, with 30 miles per hour at the fastest and 18 miles per hour for regular cruising. A female can be 70 feet long, and a calf will weigh 2 tons when newly born. It grows to 36 feet long at 6 months. Endangered? Indeed. One estimate is that between 1904 and 1979, 750,000 fin whales were killed in the Southern Hemisphere. I had to read that 3 times. It's hard to believe. 750,000 fin whales were killed in the Southern Hemisphere. Their sound communicates to each other over long distances, and hearing it in a recording, I'm motivated to study more now about fin whales and hope to see one again next year. Events. There's a lot going on, but there's one particular event, again from the Olympic Peninsula Audubon Society, a walk to see purple martins, August 1st, from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m., meeting at Three Crabs at the north end of Squim Dungeness Way. You'll be walking out on the tide flats. Bring your rubber boots. You will be viewing nesting purple martins from there. That's it. Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our program of authentic, eclectic, and local news of the natural community where we live. Nature Now airs at noon on Wednesdays with repeats here on KPTZ on Thursdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. Recent podcasts are also available on the website at www.kptz.org.
Nature Now is produced by Nan Evans and edited by Charlie Fleischman.
Today's closing music is Changing, performed by Harry Payne.
You gotta tell yourself you can see the light. You gotta tell yourself you still have the fire. Everything's gonna be changing. You'll be howling at the moon. And everything's gonna be changing, like the flowers in bloom. Oh, oh, oh. Steps, be the better man, be the best.